1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. You have such a privilege of being here. And God enabling you to be counted faithful, putting us into the ministry. I hope that just thrills you. I hope the thought of ministering, the thought of preparing for missions, preparing for school teaching, preparing for all types of ministry. That's why you're here. Is that right? And to realize that God enabled me, calling me, putting me into the ministry. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, it says, according to His glorious gospel and the blessed God which committed unto to my trust. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. I have it from God, and God has enabled me, and He chose me, and it's glorious, and it's blessed, and He's committed to me, and I'm committed to Him. And it says in verse 15, He says that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief. Let's have a debate here this morning. Who's the chiefest sinner here? Not too many people's hands up. Everybody's hands should be up. You know, let's have a, you know, I'm the worst. I don't know about you. I know more about sins about me than I know about anybody in this world. And God enabled me, calling me into the ministry, and that should just thrill us. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. And it says that thou mightest war a good warfare. Are we in a battle? Are you soldiers of Christ? You've been called to fight the good fight of faith. And then it says in verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. My goodness, the privilege of being a servant of God, a privilege of being a soldier for God, a privilege of being a saint of God. I could use the Hebrews 11, the heroes, and all of the patriarchs, but I wanted to get more practical, more personal. I've used Romans 16. Look at Romans 16. Keep your place there. I got it on the thing here. Look at Romans 16. All these people, I only put the ones up that I could pronounce their names. Okay? It's important. I want you to know there's ladies here. Amen? And there are men here. There's Timothy. He's probably the main dog there. And they're fellow workers. They're much labor helpers, servants. Is that right? You've been called. You've been called. Don't let that slip from you. And it's so important that you realize, thank God that He's going to use me. And in this Romans 16 passage, he just lists all the people that helped him, came alongside, fellow laborers, labored much. I hope you consider yourselves that. The last of your verse there, you're in verse 19 of 1 Timothy. It says this, the part B, 16 or 19B. It says, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwrecked. They've quit. They've quit being it. They said, we give up. We give up. We quit. This morning, I want to talk to you about quitting. I want to talk to you about staying in there, not getting a place where you're burned out or you just give up. Do you know that over 1,000 pastors leave the ministry every month? 1,000 pastors, and then we have over 40% of pastors are not going to be in the ministry 10 years from now. And you say, oh God, help us. In Psalm 12, verse 1, it says, help, O Lord, for the godly are fast disappearing. The faithful are vanishing from the earth. Do we need help in that area and to realize, I'm going to make it? Also, we have one guy that departed from the faith, one guy that's left, that deserted, and his name in the Bible, nobody wants to be like him, is Demas. Is that right? Demas has forsaken us. Just look at these verses. Keep your place there in Timothy. Demas hath forsaken us in Philemon 1, verse 24. He was a fellow laborer. Another text says, greet. He was of the upper echelon, possibly one of Paul's partners in jail. And Demas was a great guy. He was sold out. He was devout and devout and determined, and he was in there. Note that the book of Philemon was written in 60 to 62. Now note what Paul has to say about him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. It says, Demas has forsaken, having loved the present world, and deserted me. And here we have him falling away. We have him cooling off, warming down, becoming cold, becoming frozen, becoming just a quitter, a deserter, forsaken. And do you know we have too many of that? Let me ask you, freshmen here, how many of you are going to make it to seniors? Do you know the fall off rate is terrible? How many are you going to make it? Sophomores, how many are you going to make it to seniors? Juniors, I'm glad for the senior class to make it. Because so many get caught up in the world. So many just get discouraged and all of that. And you get to a place where they say, I quit. I'm a casualty. I become a casualty. I have some passages here, four steps of casualties. I'm not going to go over them. They get messed up with the wrong friends. They start getting spotted by the world. They start being conformed to the world. They start falling in love with the world. And they start getting discouraged and getting depressed. And you know, there's divisions happening and all kinds of disillusions happening with people, with problems, with programs, with plans, with pain. We see so many of our missionaries go to the field. Takes enough effort to get to the field. And then there's a problem with the wives of other missionaries, and they come home and they quit. And I'm saying, come on. You're serving the King. You've been called by the King to serve God. And they quit too much, and they say, I quit. And I'm sitting there going, no, don't quit. Don't quit. It is important that we grasp that and say, no, I'm not going to quit. My mom and dad graduated from this school. My brother and I graduated from this school. My son graduated from this school. My brother's girl graduated from this school, okay? We have a plat underneath the entryway of the Fisher family, okay? I'd love you for to go look it up. Something Andrew and I just went and looked at this morning to realize. We can't quit. Is it easy to quit? Anybody can quit. You know, it doesn't go well. Everything you do doesn't go well. You know, I'm not a successful pastor or whatever. I don't have a large church. I have a church of about 250. But we have a fun time. Have I done everything that has been successful? No. But I haven't quit. And my question is this morning, don't quit. The question comes up, what keeps me from quitting? 2 Timothy chapter 3, just listen to me this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3, it says, to endure hardness as a good soldier. No man warreth entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Heaven is worth it all. And to get to a place where we stumble and fall a lot, okay? But you get back up. You realize, I'm doing this for God. I'm not doing this for man. I'm going to do this for God, and God's going to stay in there with me. As long as God's alive and God's real and truth is absolute and prayer works and hell is hot and heaven is glorious and sin is costly and righteousness is rewarding and peace is comforting and the Bible's alive and forgiveness restores and spirit empowers and the devil destroys and Satan is a liar and lives are changed and Jesus saves, I'm going to stick in there. I'm going to stick in there. I'm going to endure. I wasn't put in here. You get in the pastorate, you get in the mission field. It's tough. It's tough. Do you think Paul had an easy time to realize that I'm going to continue? Colossians chapter 1 verse 23, it says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It says in Colossians 3 verse 2 and 3, it says, set your mind on things above. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And in this Colossians passage here, it is so important. Put the next one up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. We have to set our minds on things which are above. Does things go always right? No. But I can't quit. I got a message for you this morning. I've been planning this message for 3 months. Because there's so many that quit. There's so many that do not make it to the junior year and the sophomore year and the senior year. Praise God, y'all have made it to the freshman year. Huh? You are here. And you are here. Don't forsake your calling. Don't quit. In John 6:66 is one of the worst verses in the Bible. It says that many disciples went back and walked no more with the Lord. And he walked up to Peter and he says, "Will you go away also?" And Peter says in John 6, in verse 69, verse 68, he says, "Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Verse 69, "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If God's alive, we need to stay alive. Aren't you glad Jesus never gave up on you? Aren't you glad Jesus never gave up and didn't go to the cross? And we got to realize, wow, you're the one. You know, all the people left. But Peter said, "Lord, you're the one. You're the one that is." Was Peter a perfect guy? He denied the Lord more than anybody. Let me state this. Yes, he did. But he got up every time he went down. And that's the key. We got to stay fired up. When we come lukewarm, recognize it and say, "God, help me." When you realize you're cooling off, don't get to a place where you're cooled down or cold. Recognize it and fire back up again. And to realize that I'm going to make that happen. I brought some matches with me. Hope the fire marshal's not here. Here we go. You get fired up. What happens to a match after a while? It's kind of getting warm here, going down. You got to get it fired up again. Come on. If you let it go out, what happens? It doesn't light up. And then you don't want to get to a place where it's just going to be little when it goings get tough. You want to fire up again. Is that right? And when it starts going out, you want to fire up again. And it's very important to keep it where you're firing up all the time. They told me not to light a fire. It is very important that you realize there are times that you stumble, times that you get discouraged, times that things don't go right, people griping and complaining. My youth pastor, when he entered it, he said, "I never realized that people would gripe and complain at you." You're not serving them, you're serving God. And you can't say, "Wow, that's hard." It is hard. You'll have circumstances, you'll have difficulties. We just had an evangelist come to our church and they just had their first baby and everything is great, great. But about a minute before the baby was born, the baby's heart rate went from 150 to 50 and they had to ship it out. It was in intensive care for 40 days. It's been tough. But you know those have been the greatest spiritual 40 days of their life because they've seen God do miraculous things. And they didn't quit. And they trusted God and they realized, "I'm going to stay in there for God." 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. 2 Timothy, put up the next one. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12 is the key verse. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That's the key verse. Key verse. You know, Paul was suffering all these things. Did Paul have an easy life? No. But did he have a big God? And did he know that he had been called? And did he know that God would use him? And he says, I have all kinds of difficulties. Been stoned, been in the deep. He listed all that. But he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day when I stand before God. What he's promised me is going to be given to me. And I'm convinced of that. Thus I don't quit. Thus I don't give up. Thus I don't stop. Each of you have a paper that was given to you. Would you get it out, please? Would you get it out, please? This is given, if you look at the top there, the front part, it says, in 1980, a young man of Rwanda, Africa, was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or to face certain death. He refused to announce Christ, and he was killed on the spot. The night before, he had written the following commitment, which was found in his room. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I printed it out for you so that you could realize that's the commitment. And it says, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. My question here this morning, is this your commitment? It's got to be our commitment. We can't quit. There's a whole world out there that needs Jesus. And we need to be fired up. And when we cool off and we do that, we got to fire up quick. We got to go to our verse here. I know who I'm believed and am persuaded that He is able. Is that right? It's all about Him helping me. I believe it. I'm persuaded about it. And I act upon it. If this is your commitment, read this with me here. Read it with me here. Let's read it together here. If this is your commitment, let's read it. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, or back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished when done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. My face is set. My pace is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My commandments are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till everyone knows, work till He stops me, and when He comes for His own, He will have no trouble recognizing me, for God, my banner is clear. I am committed disciple of Jesus. Amen? That's the issue. And if you're not committed, you won't make it. You'll quit. And too many are quitting. It says 40% of all pastors will not be in the pastorate in 10 years. Where will you be in 10 years? I'm going to stay in for God. Put the next verse up. I'm going to stay in for God. I won't quit. When God is your reason to live, you will never have a reason to quit. Huh? When God is your reason to live, you will never have a reason to quit. And I'm going to close with this verse. Put the verse up. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause, I also suffer these things. Life's been tough. People didn't believe. They stoned him. They ridiculed him. But Paul says, folks, none of that moved me because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us these days to realize that as long as you're alive, as long as heaven is real, as long as truth is truth, Lord, that we must not quit. We must not give up. We must not let ourselves get lukewarm, let ourselves cool down a little bit, cool off all the way to becoming cold and frozen. Lord, help us to keep firing up like Peter again and again. Yes, we'll stumble. Yes, we'll lose heart sometimes. Yes, we'll get depressed and discouraged and disillusioned. But as long as you're alive and the Word of God is true, we can realize that I know whom I believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Lord, help us all never, never, never give up. In Jesus' name.